Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and over the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Joanna Michelson, who wrote back in the early 1980s a book called The Beautiful Side of Evil, and she's been a frequent guest on our program. But we're going to be talking tonight about really what's going on in the world today. And, you know, we're living in very uncertain times. We're living where a lot of people are really wonder what the future is going to bring. And certainly we see the rising unemployment. We see every day new stores, new factories, new businesses are going under. We find that certainly the production, manufacturing is dropping off in America. These are uncertain times. And with that as the background, Joanna, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Dr. Sten, cough and all.
All right, fine. Well, you go right ahead and you pick up the story there.
Well, you know, as you were just mentioning, Dr. Stan, there is a lot going on in the world, but one of the things that really caught my attention, and I've been thinking about it around New Year's because usually it's about that time of year when you hear a lot of psychic predictions about what's coming on in the world. And generally, you know, even though there's been a huge growth and increment in interest in psychic phenomena, a significant increase, actually, in the belief in these experiences, such as haunted houses and ghosts and witches and psychic and spiritual healing, extrasensory perception, etc. There's been a huge increase in this, but usually, up until recently, a lot of people were still being a little cautious, and you didn't see quite as much as you've been seeing now. Just in the last maybe 6-7 months, Dr. Stan, because of the tremendous chaos in the economy. And I came across a couple of articles when I was perusing through the files of the New York Times. And there was an article that was published November 21st, just last year, 2008, so not that many months ago. And one of the things they were talking about is a rather extensive article about how here this big-name stock trader, for example, usually checks his financial charts before plotting the day's investments. But the reporter said today he's likely to check in with his psychic as well. And he said, yeah, you know, if I get a negative view from my psychic, then I sell. I get out of the market. And he said, this other fellow said he used to talk to his psychic about once a month, but now he's talking to him about double that. There's some interesting observations in the article, Dr. Stan. This person was saying, look, when conditions are this volatile, consulting a psychic can be as good a strategy as any other. And when you're looking at it from a purely secular perspective, that's kind of an understandable view. But the psychics are overjoyed. Everybody may be going through a really hard time financially. Not the psychics. Their business is robust. The astrologers, the people who are channeling the spirits, the palm readers, those who are predicting the future, are raking in, Dr. Stan, if you can believe it, from between $75 to $1,000 an hour.
Oh boy, I must be in the wrong business.
You know what, I hate to say it, but I found myself thinking the same thing, and then I thought, Lord, forgive me, not even as a joke.
I know. We shouldn't even really joke about this, but, you know, if you study many of the people who've made great fortunes, J.P. Morgan was into astrology, looked into it on a regular basis. Andrew Carnegie was into spiritualism. The Mellons were into spiritualism. Certainly members of the Rockefeller family have been into the occult. And, you just can't help but wonder what this is really all about. We'll be back in just a moment with Joanna Michelson. Well, Joanna, you pick up the story there.
Well, you know, one of the things that the author of this article pointed out is that it's one way to feel in control. When you don't know what to expect, you're most likely to turn to a psychic. And it's interesting to see how many more men are coming into this thing. When the economy is down, the business of the psychics goes up. But you got to wonder who's actually giving you this advice. Another article that New York Times came out with, actually, this was January 22nd of 2009. Now, let's see. This one came out in 2000, the year 2000, so it's been a few years. You got to really sit back and say, now, let's see. Who are we really consulting with? Because New York was actually providing, under the guidance of Rudolph Giuliani, the city's welfare department was actually recruiting welfare recipients to work from home as telephone psychics for some months. You know, so who is it who's giving you all this great advice? But really, it's understandable. People are desperate for some security, for some direction. And because, unfortunately, they no longer believe as a society that you can legitimately turn to God to ask him, they're turning to the psychics and the occultists and the channelers. Books, for example, like Do Dead People Watch You Shower? And other questions you've been all but dying to ask a medium. I mean, books with titles like this have been in the upper sales brackets in Amazon.com, selling number one in the section on occultism very frequently when they can nudge the Satanic Bible over. Because, by the way, with the influx and the coming out of the Twilight series, there's been a vast increase among the teenagers in Satanism and occultism because of this vampire series. But most of it doesn't seem to be quite as dark as all of that. People like Louise Hayes, for example, of Hay House, has been channeling books now for decades, and things that she has been speaking about in her publishing house, publishing some of the big name channelers that we've all been watching and supporting. Anybody who watches PBS and seen Wayne Dyer on there, you know, he talks openly also about this force that comes through him and just seems to be writing the books all along. People like Neil Donald Walsh, who claims he's been channeling God. And, boy, God is really something else.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Joanna Michelson. Well, this is Dr. Sen, and Joanna is just talking about the increasing interest in the occult and in channelers. In fact, just tonight, they're starting, once again, the new series of programs on the medium. And, of course, the heroine is a beautiful blonde woman with three beautiful blonde children. Alice DuBois is her name, the name in the series. Trouble is, there really was an Alice DuBois out there. She really did have the ability to channel information. She was a medium, and she helped the police catch the bad guys. So this is a series, and it's a fascinating series. It comes back every year, and it's just starting the Monday after the Super Bowl. Everybody, I think probably a lot of people this evening are all across America are watching the beginning of the new series on the medium. So pick the story up there, Joanne. Joanne is just talking about how we find so many of the books dealing with the supernatural are selling so well, certainly on the New York Times bestseller list, and how many of these people, Neil Donald Walsh tells you that he is able to channel God. Oh, you go right ahead.
Well, I got to tell you, though, it's no God that anybody who takes the Bible seriously would be familiar with. This God that Neil Donald Walsh suddenly encountered, came to him very much the way a lot of people who are in desperate straits find themselves encountering their spirit guides. Neil Donald Walsh was in a terrible situation. He'd lost his job because of an accident. He was foraging for food out of garbage cans. And he starts shaking his fist in the face of the sky and talking to God and saying, why are these things happening to me? And then he hears this voice speaking to him, and answering him back. And he suddenly realized he needed to write this down. So in a technique that actually is known as automatic writing for all intents and purposes, he began channeling this voice that was saying things like, I am God as you know and understand him. I am Goddess as you now comprehend her. I am the conceiver and the creator of everything you know and experience. You're my children, even as I am the child of another. Ooh, this guy's sounding kind of on the Mormon-y side here. And then he says things like, Hitler went to heaven. Hitler did nothing wrong. Hitler simply did what he did. The mistakes Hitler made did no damage or harm to those whose deaths he caused. Those souls were released from their earthly bondage. No one who's experienced death ever mourns the death of anyone. Nonsense and horrors along that line that this being that calls himself God was passing on to him. And these books, Dr. Sten, as you know, have been on the top seller lists of New York Times and the Amazon for years. Stating the most outrageously demonic, convoluted hogwash that people in our society are flocking to because it seems so right, it seems so powerful, it seems so good. And as you mentioned, some of the top people in our politics and financial sectors have been enamored of occultism in many different forms, purveyed by Napoleon Hill and others who were promoting it, Norman Vincent Peale. But, you know, it was kind of interesting to watch another one of these shows, speaking of things that have been coming out just recently, called Decoding the Past. I don't know, I don't remember if it was History Channel or Learning Channel or one of these channels, Discovery possibly. But it was talking about how fascinating it is to review how many presidents in the White House consulted and listened to the words of the psychics and the mediums. For example, Woodrow Wilson, the 28th president of the United States, found himself consulting Edgar Casey. He was brought in. Wilson had had a stroke, and he was hoping to get a favorable report from Edgar Casey, who was probably the most famous medium of the 20th century. And Edgar Casey had had a bit of a problem when he was a child. He wasn't too bright. He couldn't figure out spelling. He had a terrible time spelling. I think it was the word cabin. He couldn't figure out how to spell cabin. And his parents were at their wits' ends and desperately trying to teach him the basic elements of spelling, but failed completely. So his dad finally left the kid alone for about half an hour, and Casey then reported that he heard a voice saying, and he must have been about 8, 9 years old at the time, sleep now and we will help you. And Casey dozed off with his spelling book under his head, and astonishingly, when he woke up, he knew every single lesson in the book when he woke up. That voice wasn't just imagination. Something came in, and he realized, and so did everybody around him, that he really had unusual powers and began his career as a healer after he himself was seriously injured. I think he got struck by a baseball, hit him in the back. And after falling into one of these deep trances, he began speaking to his mother and told her to apply a certain poultice that he gave her to heal him, and he recovered. And then he began going to an amateur hypnotist and was going off into these trances, and he was well known for diagnosing illnesses and offering remedies to friends, etc. And what's interesting is that he developed a tremendous reputation as a reliable healer. They were writing things down, so he's actually probably the best documented healer and psychic of the 20th century, and all of his materials are kept in the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach. I don't think too far from where 700 Club is located. But it was also interesting that he was consulted during the time right around the Depression Right before the Depression in 1929, in April, a broker consulted him about the stock market. And back in those days, the stock market had been booming. I mean, it was doing great after World War I. But this voice, this being, spoke through and predicted that the market would suffer a downward movement for a long duration. He said there would be panic in the money centers, including Wall Street. And unfortunately for this guy, he didn't heed the warning, and he got wiped out when the market crashed on Black Friday. But he accurately predicted the beginning of both world wars, the deaths of President Franklin D. Roosevelt and Kennedy. He envisioned the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. You know, he made a lot of really accurate predictions. Of course, keep in mind, he's also the one who said California right now would be falling into the Pacific Ocean. We should be floating out somewhere on the way to the Orient by now, but we didn't. He said that would happen like in the 60s. Didn't happen, obviously, because I'm still sitting here in California talking to you. And, you know, he made all kinds of predictions that absolutely were not true, like World War III would erupt in 1999, et cetera, civilization would end by that date, shifts in the polar axis by 1998, things that didn't happen. But Woodrow Wilson had heard of his reputation as a great healer, and so he asked him to come to the White House and speak to him. And unfortunately for Woodrow Wilson, who had had a stroke, he was told that nothing could be done. And also the League of Nations, which he tried to bring about because of a prophecy Edgar Cayce had made about a terrorist attack coming through and terrible chaos and war if the nations weren't brought together, that also never came to pass. Abraham Lincoln, before, was also very fascinated with the occult. From the time he was fairly young, he had visions and dreams and nightmares, and he remembered his dreams and believed that his dreams helped him in the direction of his life. After his son Willie died, I think in 1862, he and his wife, Mary Todd Lincoln, got involved, very involved actively in the supernatural. In fact, I think in April of 1863, they invited a psychic to the White House and held seances there. Had a precognitive dream about his assassination, April 14th, not long before he was assassinated. Who else? Oh, I know President Roosevelt invited Jean Dixon, also a tremendously famous and popular psychic, who'd moved to Washington around 1944. In the fall, Roosevelt invited her to the White House to ask about his health, and he was told by her he only had about 6 months. She also told him China would go communist, that the Russians, who at that time were dear friends, would become our enemies, that there would be terrible social and racial unrest flaring up around the 60s and would last around till around 1980. And she was right about a lot of that. She was also terribly wrong about many other predictions that she made, so her track record was kind of off and on. Lyndon Johnson was a very psychic president himself. He had recurring nightmares, and actually it's reported, Dr. Stan, that he was terrified that if he stayed in the White House, he would wind up having a stroke just like Woodrow Wilson did. And he dreamt that there was no way out, this terrible wave. You know, he was battling all of the chaos of the Vietnam War. But he dreamt that this wave, this tsunami, was coming upon him and would destroy him if he stayed for a second term. So that played a big part in his decision not to pursue a second term, from what's reported. President Nixon, if anybody can believe it, in 1969, he was in the White House, and he actually had heard a secretary of his, I believe her name was Rosemary Woods. And Rosemary Woods was a good friend of Jean Dixon's, and Jean Dixon, she used to consult with her on a very regular basis, and she started reporting some of those conversations to Nixon and told him, hey, you know, Mr. President, Jean Dixon is talking about some kind of killing here in America, something about bombings and something terrible tied in with the Jews. It's possible that Isaac Rabin...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Joanna, you go right ahead there, and you were just saying that something about Rabin, the Prime Minister of Israel at the time. This would have been certainly before Nixon left the
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
Certainly involved with the occult of Ronald Reagan. If you've never read the book, What Did Jones Say?, written by Nancy Reagan's astrologer, it was not simply that Nancy was involved with the with astrology, but Ronald Reagan was as well. But the average American is not allowed to know that. But Joanna was saying that in each one of these instances, there were terrible tragedies that befell them. Certainly they may have, by contacting the psychics, may have got fascinating information, but what is the price that you're going to pay when you tap into the other dimension? So go right ahead, Joanna.
Yeah, no question about it, Dr. Sten. There is a price to be paid, and people may feel in times of great stress that by consulting these wizards and mediums that they're gaining something that is positive and beneficial to them. What they don't realize is they are opening up a terrible door. You know, I just noticed in the last couple of days that the Twilight Zone is back. And I don't know if you remember, Dr. Stan, maybe in the 1960s, in the early 60s, you remember one of the Twilight Zone episodes called To Serve Man. It was based on a short story. I do not remember the name of the author. I've got the thing floating around here somewhere, but it's buried in my documentation. But in any case, it was about the story about these extraterrestrials, tall, weird, bizarre-looking beings who come down to Earth. And everybody, of course, is initially terrified, but they seem so kind and so helpful. And they give them polygraph tests, and they realize these people, these extraterrestrial beings, are telling the truth. They really want to serve man. They want to help, and they bring tremendous benefit. They help turn the deserts into gardens, into beautiful paradises. They put an end to hunger. They put an end to war and chaos. And then they begin a reciprocal program where now here we have come to see you. Now we invite you to our planet so that you can now come and visit us. And one of these extraterrestrials, inadvertently leaves this book behind. And, of course, the cryptographers have been desperately trying to decipher what is it this book says. And they finally figured it out. One person finally cracks the code. And the title of this book that this wonderful, kind being has left behind is called To Serve Man. And, of course, everybody is so excited, and people start flocking to the flying saucer, what do you call it, that thing that's going out to outer space to take them in there, the capsule, and they're all marching in kind of like the animals going into the ark. And then as one of the heroes there of the story is about to get on the spaceship, his friend comes up, the girl who actually cracked the code. And she cries out to him, don't get on the ship to serve man. It's a cookbook. And the look on the man's face as he struggles to turn around and get off that ship, but it's too late. And they shove him in. And then you see him locked up in this little cubicle. And the kind extraterrestrial comes with a plate of food, which our hero slams against the wall. And he says, oh, please. We would not want you to lose weight. Look, people, you may not understand or know what a lot of psychics understand, that this information isn't coming from the great universal unconscious or the higher self or beneficial beings who are coming for the good of mankind because they now have access to all knowledge and power. What is coming through is something totally different. And the price that is paid, if the Bible is correct about it, is not one that any thinking person is going to want to pay. What has been very unnerving is to see how many of these practices, Dr. Stan, you know, you mentioned a moment ago when you were talking about astrology and Ronald Reagan, how rare it is to see Christians getting involved in this kind of thing. But I have to tell you, one of the really unnerving things is, as I and many others have been looking at the statistics of people who are now latching on to occult directions, has been how many of these people claim to be Christians and claim to be believing in God.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Joanna Michelson. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Joanna was just talking about how really tragic it is that so many of the people who are getting involved in the occult today, looking for the supernatural power, for the answers to the meanings of life, and for how we should be behaving or what the future holds. But many of them profess to be Christians. So you pick up the story there, Joanna.
Actually, Dr. Stan, more than 90% of Americans, according to one poll that Dave Hunt in the Berean Call reported a number of years ago, is that 90% of Americans claim to believe in God. About 80% call themselves Christians. But listen to this, Dr. Stan. When asked to define God, the answers ranged from Mother Earth to a higher power. Even many who claim to be born again deny that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. About 70% of Americans, 64% who call themselves born again, and 40% of all self-proclaimed evangelicals reject the idea of absolute truth. And most of those who claim to believe in absolutes have fallen victims to a universal reluctance to speak the truth. National Study of Youth and Religion that came out of my old alma mater, the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, they released a study on youth and religion and found that nearly half of conservative Protestant youth believe many religions may be true, again challenging the exclusivity of Christ, and 36% of conservative Protestant youth think it's okay to pick and choose the parts of their faith they agree with. This explains why 33% of them are open to reincarnation, even though it contradicts the Bible's teachings about the afterlife. This was an article that came out in Biola. About 20 million people are members, give or take a million or so, probably, in the emerging church, which is the church led by people like Leonard Sweet and Brian McLaren and Dan Kimball and others who are trying, supposedly, to find a newer and innovative way to minister to the younger generation. And in doing that, they have adopted some hardcore occultic practices which have opened them up, Dr. Stan, to exactly the same kinds of spirits, the mediums and the psychics and the channelers, from the fluff and buff ones sitting in the street, on the street corners in their storefronts with Madame Lavana, you know, psychic, cross my palm with silver.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Joanna Michelson. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and, of course, our guest this evening, Joanna Michelson. And before we go on, Joanna, do you have a web page where people could get information from what you're writing and what you're doing?
Well, Dr. Stan, I have to acknowledge in front of your entire audience you are talking to probably one of the last techno-peasants in the publishing world. No, I don't. I can be reached, however, through my publisher.
All right, fine. All right, fine. So basically, if you need to reach Joanna Weibkriss, you can always contact her publisher. And so basically, Joanna was just saying that so many Christians today are off onto they're searching for a better way to understand God, getting into such things as the emerging church, where, of course, you walk in labyrinths and you contemplate on candles and so many of the ideas of putting yourself into an altered state of consciousness and meditation to try to reach God. But, well, you go right ahead.
And my question is, as one who has been researching this now for over 35 years, and as one who was deeply involved in the occult and working with one of the genuine psychics, because keep in mind, and I know your audience is well educated in this, a good number, if not a vast majority of those who call themselves psychics are frauds. They are hucksters who know how to cold read an individual. Not everyone who says they have access to great power really does. But the fact is, Dr. Stan, that because of the occult involvement, because of a breaking away in our society from a reliance upon a Judeo-Christian biblical worldview, we have now thrown open the door to the same kinds of beliefs and practices that you see in, quote, third world countries, in countries where animism and Buddhism and Hinduism and shamanism and the superstitions of paganism have run rampant and have had full sway for millennia. We're now seeing that same kind of mind frame take hold in our society at the highest levels of society, as we've seen down to the people sitting there wondering whether they should get retrained for a street sweeping job. And the door has been opened, but what has been so unnerving, Dr. Stan, is to see how many Christians, sincere individuals, who, because they have bought into a postmodern view of society, because they no longer feel that we must be tied to an understanding of the Bible as the inerrant, infallible word of God, because doctrine has become a dirty word in so many of our churches, and experience has become king. We rule our lives by experience. Newsweek did an entire cover article in September, I think it was the 5th of 2005, Spirituality in America. And it had page after page after page documenting how from the Christian fundamentalists to the Roman Catholics to the pagans to the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Muslims, there has been a worldwide fascination and resurgence of interest in spirituality. But just do not put or try to impose on us this narrow-minded, Bible-thumping perspective that says, hey, wait a minute, test your experience against the Word of God. Oh, please. How narrow-minded and politically incorrect can you get, Johanna Michelson? Bible, 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 that's all you talk about. Well, I fervently hope so. Oh, but you are so narrow-minded. Oh, please, God, may it be so. May I say, some of us are so open-minded, most of our brains fell out. The Word of God says, enter by that narrow-minded, if you will, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, that narrow-minded, Bible-thumping, fundamentalist, evangelical gate. For the way is broad and open-minded that leads to what? Destruction. And many are those who enter by it. Now, let me tell you, Dr. Stan, as I look at what the psychics and the mediums are doing and have been doing for millennia, as I look at book after book after book after book after book, and I literally have thousands of them, and documentation as well, where they are teaching you and telling you and talking to you about how to meet your spirit guide, the fact that they don't care what you call your guide, hey, call them divine master, inner master, higher self, counselor, wise person, like I used to call them in Silva Mind Control, one of the foremost techniques for learning how to meet your spirit guide. Call them Jesus, call them tomato sprites or zucchini divas. They don't care. Call them whatever you want. It's okay. As long as you use these techniques promoted by the emerging church and the contemplative prayer, techniques straight out of animism, shamanism, Hinduism, and Buddhism, techniques of meditation that put you in an altered state through which you can communicate with the spirit realm, as long as you're using their techniques, you will encounter their spirit guides, and the guides don't care what you call them. Now, all that to say this, in the church, there has been a tremendous move away from holding on and testing your experience against the Word of God, and opening yourself up to these ancient techniques. And people are now, and have been for decades, through the teachings of Carl Jung, who was a hardcore occultist. All of his techniques and information about the subconscious and the unconscious, etc., all of that came from his guides, one of which was named Philemon, who was a kingfisher with wings. I mean, the guy was a hardcore occultist that's well known in the occult realm, and his techniques and belief systems are picked up by Agnes Sanford, whose teacher is Morton Kelsey, an Episcopalian priest. These people were hardcore occultists. You can read their books. They were teaching you how to astral project. They were universalists. They were panentheists. God was in everything. They talked about how to astral travel, techniques that were picked up by the inner healing movement and by people like Richard Foster, and taught, at least very openly, in the first edition of Celebration and Discipline. Techniques that then are picked up by people, for example, like Leonard Sweet, whose book, Soul Tsunami, and Quantum Spirituality was richly and effusively endorsed by people like Rick Warren, yes, of the Purpose-Driven Church. Books in which he says to you, hey, we need to stop being narrow-minded, Bible-thumping fuddy-duddies, out of touch with the rest of society that we claim we're trying to reach, and we need to start becoming involved in the paranormal, which is now normal. We need to start going out and exploring some of these things like ESP and communication with ghosts and touching base with the psychics and all of these things that narrow-minded bigots who actually take the Bible seriously are trying to keep you from. And then you see the people who are going, using their breathing techniques like those taught by Rick Warren, like those taught by Thomas Merton, who tried to become the best Buddhist he could and who opened the door to a lot of these occult techniques flooding into the church, picked up by these people, and what are they doing with them? They're learning how to move into silence. They're learning how to go into the same altered state of consciousness that the mediums and the shamans and the psychics, some of whom we've been touching base about and talking about here, such as Edgar Cayce, such as Jean Dixon, such as Sylvia Brown, such as Neil Donald Walsh, such as William Paul Young of The Shack, which I have to tell you is one of the most dangerous occult books I have ever read. Talk about a portrayal of the beautiful side of evil, but how many Christian ministries have embraced that and they're handing it out to their people like you were talking donut holes here. Hardcore occult stuff. And so these people in the church, following the teachings of William Branham, listening to the Kansas City prophets and the Toronto Blessing prophets and John Wimber, under whose ministry my husband and I sat for the first few years of our married life until we suddenly realized this man is promoting hardcore occultism. And we see them using the same techniques, Dr. Stan, that I used in the occult to reach and meet my spirit guide who presented himself to me as a Christian, as Jesus. I was a committed Christian at the time. And these people are communing with Jesus. And I will tell you, Dr. Stan, and I hope our audience is listening, you may think that by listening to Agnes Sanford and Richard Foster and these other individuals who are teaching you how to meet your Jesus in churches across the country, Todd Bentley, these people are using occult techniques, and the Jesus they are meeting is a spirit guide. It is not the Jesus of the Bible. I will say it again. The Jesus you are meeting, if you have used these techniques of inner healing where you are taking deep breaths and visualizing yourself in a beautiful place, and you're walking along, and you see him, oh, yearn for that experience with all your heart. It is. It's Jesus. People are telling you that you can actually encounter the real Jesus. You can conjure him down. And let me tell you a king who did that in Scripture. Some of you may be familiar with 1 Samuel chapter 28, and you remember the story about King Saul. King Saul was the first anointed king of Israel. Up until that time, God was king, and God got to set the rules. One of the perks of being a sovereign divinity, you get to make some of the rules, and God, as not only sovereign divinity and king of Israel, got to set the laws of the land and to say what was and was not acceptable. But the people didn't want him. God wasn't good enough for them. They wanted a beautiful, handsome king like all the other nations had. So they wound up with Saul, who followed God only with a divided heart. He only sort of did what God said. He did it inasmuch as it made sense to him, and then he ran things as he saw fit. But there's an interesting encounter that Saul has here in 1 Samuel 28. He was in a big mess. Saul was really in a dither because he was having terrible problems with the Philistines. The Philistines were waging war against him. King David was hiding out. Why are we surprised? Saul had kept trying to kill him. And he was in a panic. He had this enormous Philistine army against him, and he had come to ask God, and God was not talking to him. He had an overwhelming fear God had left him, and may I say, with very good reason. I mean, he slaughtered about 28 of God's priests some chapters back, and so why was he surprised God wasn't talking to him? And also, he had disobeyed God concerning Amalek. There was a powerful king who had waged war against God's people, and God, in order to protect his people, because Amalek was involved in child sacrifice and divination and witchcraft and consulting mediums and spiritism and necromancy and all the forms of occultism, God said, I want you to wipe him out. I want you to execute my wrath against him. Get rid of him. But Saul chose not to do that. He kept the best of the stuff for himself. So because God's not talking to him, he goes and he compounds the problem by going to check with the medium. And it tells you in verse 3 that Samuel was dead. Well, anybody who'd been reading the book of Samuel up until now knows the prophet was dead. He died back in chapter 25. But it tells you again, just to make sure you know, Samuel was dead and all Israel had lamented him. And Saul had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. There was a time when Saul obeyed the word of God. And God had said, I do not want you to consult the mediums and the wizards. I want you to execute them. Back in the days of the theocracy, and thank God we're not in a theocracy now, God help us if we ever wind up with another bout of the Roman Catholic Church, as in the Middle Ages, trying to impose their theocracy when they're bringing back the rule of God when God has not returned. We have not had a theocracy since King Saul, and the Roman Catholics had no business trying to bring that in, but they did anyway. But God had said, one of the laws of the land for you, my people, Israel, and for anyone else who takes my word seriously, is found all over my word. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31, do not turn to mediums or spiritists, do not seek them out to be defiled by them, I am the Lord your God. Leviticus number 20, verse 6, as for the person who turns to mediums and to spiritists to play the whore after them, I will also set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. That's a polite euphemism for execution. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy. And then he gives us the reason for making such a narrow-minded, politically incorrect, really annoying, especially if you're involved in psychics and mediums, statement. For I am the Lord your God. God repeatedly told his people, do not consult the mediums and the spiritists. And Saul had obeyed that word and he'd gotten rid of them. But because God wasn't answering him, and because the prophet Samuel was dead, he said, well, if God's not going to answer me, and I don't know what to do, and things are so scary, I'm going to go find a medium. Just like all these people on Wall Street and in the White House have been doing for generations. And so, because God did not answer him either by dreams or by the Urim or by prophets, then Saul said to his servants, seek for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go and inquire of her. And one of the servants said, well, there is a woman who's a medium at Endor. And Saul disguised himself. He couldn't go out there just out in the open, so he pretends he's somebody else, and he sneaks in at night. And he comes to the woman, and he says, conjure up for me, please, and bring up for me whom I shall name to you. And the woman is no dummy. She said, what are you talking about? Don't you know Saul's killed all the mediums, and what are you trying to do, get me killed too? And Saul vowed to her by the Lord. Are you listening to this? If there is nothing more pitiful here than Saul saying, by the God who ordered the execution of those who traffic in demons, the mediums and the wizards, by his name I vow to you nothing will come to you. No punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Okay, who do you want me to call up? Bring up Samuel for me. Now here's something very interesting happens, Dr. Stan. Something this woman was not expecting took place. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. In the Hebrew, the word zalach is used. It means she shrieked in terror. And she spoke to Saul and said, why have you deceived me, your Saul? And then she described the one she saw, an old man as a god.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Go right ahead.
And so the old man comes up, and Samuel knew that it was Saul. And Saul says,
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
Sure, we do have, of course, a four-tape set with two interviews with Joanna Michelson. It's called The Supernatural. We carry her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. We have a book called The Hostage to the Devil. Hostage to the Devil, and, of course, it's written by Father Malachi Martin, who's now deceased, but we have a four-tape set of my interviews with Father Malachi. And we call it The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. And then we have four tape set on Satanism, the Satanic Crimes is the title of it, and then of course a book that goes along with that, going into some of the organizations where the richest and most powerful people in the world are involved in Satanism, and then, of course, we have a book called The Diary of a Devil Hunter, a gentleman who was involved in Satanism and, of course, was able to get out of it. And then, of course, what happened when he went around the country trying to tell people what was going on, and, of course, immediately the FBI would dispatch their people to say there is no Satanism, there are no satanic cults, there are no satanic sacrifices, it's all simply contrived here, there's nothing to worry about. And why would the FBI be so concerned about misleading the American people? Well, that's a subject for another evening. Right now, of course, we want to tell you about a wonderful new DVD we have. It's called The Eye of the Phoenix. That's The Eye of the Phoenix. It's put together by our good friend Chris Pinto. It's about 2 hours and 50 minutes long. It's the story of the emblem on the back of the dollar bill. And there are many people who try to tell you, oh, that's a Christian emblem. Oh, it's a, and then History Club, pardon me, the History Channel and the Discovery Channel will come out every time Chris Pinto produces a new DVD. Why, immediately History Channel and the Discovery Channel come up with all sorts of programs saying, no, there's nothing to worry about from Masonry, or they may be a secret society, but they're really just involved in doing good. And don't believe these people who tell you that there's this supernatural, or that that emblem on the back of the dollar bill has anything to do with Masonry. Well, that the Masons will deny it. Well, if that's true, if you go to their websites, why do they, so many of them have the occult eye there? Fortunately, we do have the Internet, and you can go up and look under Freemasonry, go to their websites. So many of them will have all or part of the emblem on the back of the dollar bill. Well, this is a great DVD. It goes into, of course, the man who put this on the back of the dollar bill, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who took us into World War II and, of course, prolonged that war. It could have been over much, much earlier, but they prolonged it as long as they could so there'd be as much destruction and suffering as possible. Understand, there really is evil in the world, ladies and gentlemen, and much of what we think we know just is not true. And so, again, the telephone number to get the Eye of the Phoenix, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we encourage you to get the other books that we, the other DVDs that Chris Pinto has put out, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. That's The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. And, of course, Riddles in Stone, Going into the Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And then, of course, we do hope, finally, that you will make serious consideration of getting the DVD talk that Chris Pinto gave when he was our speaker a couple of years. It's called The Atlantis Connection. The Atlantis Connection, because, you see, the occultists have always believed that America would be the new Atlantis and would lead the world into this one world government. Isn't it interesting? Henry Kissinger, on the 12th of January of this year, writing in the International Herald Tribune, an article talking about how right now we have a chance for a new world order. That's the title of his article. Why would Henry Kissinger be pushing this idea of a one world government? Well, it's because Henry Kissinger is involved in the occult as well, according to an article in West Magazine we have. But you're not supposed to know these things. Everything's done to keep the people from learning the truth. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our web page, radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Patrick Wood. And Patrick Wood is, of course, with the August Review back in the late 1970s. Patrick was working very closely with our good friend, Professor Anthony Sutton, who, of course, had been at the Hoover Institute, but, of course, lost his position there because he dared go before the Republican nominating committee at the Republican convention. It was back in 1972, and explain and talk about how, of course, America was helping the Russians, were helping the North Vietnamese, were killing our boys, and the American people were never supposed to understand that Vietnam was a totally phony war. We were funding the Russians, were funding the North Vietnamese, were funding the Viet Cong, or were killing our boys. So, like in Afghanistan today, where we fund the Pakistan government that funds the ISI, their intelligence, that funds the Taliban that are killing our boys in Afghanistan, nothing is ever as it purports to be. But, of course, you cannot understand what's going on behind the scenes unless you understand the things that Professor Sutton and Patrick were working on in the late 1970s, and that is the Trilateral Commission, the organization that, according to Senator Barry Goldwater, was established to actually control the financial and commercial elements by seizing control of the government of the United States. Well, I'm going to let Patrick tell you. He's got some great new reports out. You'll certainly want to get his information. Patrick, thanks so very much for being with us tonight.
You're welcome, Dr. Stan. Good to be here.
You go ahead and pick up the story.
Well, you covered it pretty well. We started, Anthony Sutton and myself started this chase back in the 1970s, and we sounded the alarm back then over this particular group of people who were the apparently the movers and shakers behind the Carter administration. And not too many people listened to us back then, although we did sell quite a few books and quite a few newsletters. But, you know, things didn't work out quite like we'd hoped. The right people didn't listen to us, I guess, you might say. And the Trilateral Commission stayed in power. They still are in power today with the Obama administration. And they continue to have a virtual lock, you know, hammer lock on our foreign policy mechanism and our economic mechanism as well.
I think that's the thing that everybody honestly believes, that President Obama is going to bring change, but he has put the same people into positions of power that were there during the Bush administration, and then, of course, during the Clinton administration, and then, of course, in the first Bush administration under Ronald Reagan and certainly under Jimmy Carter. This small little clique of people with, according to, you know, Patrick, there's only 87 United States citizens or U.S. citizens in this little group, the North American group of the Trilateral Commission. There are about 120 there all together, but some of them are Canadians, some of them are Mexicans. Only 87 citizens, and they have almost 10 of them in key positions, and they totally dominate the American State Department today. We're going to get a change, but I think it's going to be a change for the worse. Go right ahead.
Well, it is a change for the worse. I guess you say the downhill race is accelerating, but there's as many members of the Trilateral Commission right now in Obama's government already that there's been in virtually every other administration. Jimmy Carter actually took the prize, I think, with close to 30% of the membership that he swept into a top position in his administration.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. 30% of the members of the Trilateral Commission were in the Carter administration. You go right ahead.
Well, today we have, you know, we were promised, of course, change and, you know, a new America and so on, but it's just more of the same. I'm just reminded that Jimmy Carter's marketing phrase back in his election cycle in 75 was, I will never lie to you. I remember that just so clearly that he just, the words just flowed off his lips. I will never lie to you. And people bought it. And they put this man in, and out, he didn't do anything except lie to us after he got elected. I don't know that he ever told the truth. We have the same type of MO with Barack Obama this time around. He had heavy support of the Trilateral Commission members. He was tutored by Zbigniew Brzezinski, who also tutored Jimmy Carter. And once he was elected president, as I said, he has since appointed almost 10% of the U.S. membership today to top-level positions, including, for instance, the Secretary of the Treasury, Tim Geithner, the Ambassador of the United Nations, Susan Rice. I'm sure we'll go over some of these, I'm sure, in the program tonight. You know, these members of the Trilateral Commission, the thing that's alarming about this, Dr. Stan, is the policies they are implementing are not American policies. They're globalistic policies that were determined at plenary sessions of the Trilateral Commission, which include members from Asia, from Japan, from around North America, Canada, and Mexico, including the U.S., and from Europe. And These are not policies that were established in the United States. They have no root or basis in the United States whatsoever. They completely bypass the Constitution. They bypass the Senate and the House. Yet they have been able, over a period of 30-plus years now, to implement their agenda. And the results of that agenda, Dr. Stan, is what we have today. This system of globalization is so thoroughly broken that the whole world is going under right now, and these people are at the root of it.
You are absolutely right, and this thing is that the average individual has no idea what's going on because the establishment pundits, whether they be on the so-called conservative side or so-called on the liberal side, and they argue back and forth, and they put on a great show, but it's only a show. They're never going to tell you what's really going on. This is why you need alternative media. That's why you need programs like Radio Liberty. We're going to hear what you won't hear elsewhere. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly our guest this evening is Patrick Wood, and he's talking about the Trilateral Commission influence on the Obama administration. There are only 87 people in the American citizens, I should say, in the North American group. There are about 300 people in the Trilateral Commission altogether, but they come from all over the world. They're the people who really rule the world. And of that 87 people, at least I can think of 10, who are now in key positions in the Obama regime. They're going to control the State Department. They are the financial advisors to the president. They're the people who got us into this mess, and the same people who got us into this mess are going to be the people he's going to rely upon to get us out of this mess. And the thing is that they're not going to do anything right because they don't want to solve the problem. They're going to use the problem to bring about a world government. But we cannot tell the stupid American people that. They've got to think that when we spend all these, you know, hundreds of billions of trillions of dollars, we're approaching at the present time about $10 trillion they put out so far. And if you doubt that, you need to get my November newsletter, November 2008 Radio Liberty letter. It's up on the website, radioliberty.com. And look at the Federal Reserve figures on the money that's been put out. And they put out, well, pretty close, between $9 and $10 trillion when this new bill goes through, this new $819 billion they're going to put out. But tell me, you know, how are we going to benefit the economic crisis by putting up a couple of $100 million for a control of sexually transmitted diseases, or certainly financing voter registration and community action groups? How is that going to solve the economic problems that are destroying our nation? And the answer is, it's not going to. But you have to believe that they're doing something. And, of course, what they're really doing is making things worse, aiming at destroying the value of our currency, impoverishing our people. Why would intelligent people do that? Why? Because we're dealing with extremely intelligent people who have a different worldview. But, Patrick, you pick up the story.
Well, they do have a different worldview, Stan, and the deal with the policies that they've clearly delineated over the years, they're leading us towards a globalistic system that combines the economies of the world into a single economy and the governance of the world into a single body of governance, with them at the top. And this, I can't say that this has been 100% implemented yet, because the American people and the country of America are still a thorn in the side of these people. We are the last country in the world, you realize, that has freedom written into its constitution. And we have preserved liberty in our country longer than any other country on the face of the planet. And you cannot find a country anywhere in the world that's the likes of America. And America has been in the crosshairs of these people, because until America is removed from the global scene, they cannot accomplish their global system. And that's why we've seen the attacks on manufacturing and the attacks on our borders, for instance, leaving our borders open, encouraging illegal immigration. And, you know, we've seen sovereignty slip away with treaties that have been signed and trade agreements that have been signed, our submission to the International Court of Justice, you know, to the World Trade Organization, and so on. They're targeting our country for extinction, quite honestly.
Well, you know, I think it's, and any intelligent person, I would simply ask them, why is America giving a great deal of money and foreign aid to Africa and other nations throughout the world, you know, when we're having to borrow money every single day to pay our debts? I mean, would you think it would be rational if you certainly were, you know, head over heels in debt and having to borrow money every day, to be giving money away to people in other countries? Or to your friends, you'd say that's illogical. Why are we encouraging our manufacturing to move overseas by giving them special tax breaks and subsidies and guarantees that if their factories are nationalized, why, we'll pick up the tab? Why would logical people want to move America's manufacturing out of Russia and to China and to Brazil and to Mexico, which is exactly where it's going? And that's where, of course, General Motors is opening its plants. It's just opened a new plant in Russia. It's opening its eighth plant in China. It has opening up a new whole complex in Brazil to work with all the other plants it has down there. And then, of course, the American Congress is going to give it more money so it can continue operating here. It doesn't intend to continue operating here. What we're going to do is subsidize General Motors' move overseas, and we all give them special tax breaks. They don't have to pay taxes when the corporations are overseas. They don't pay any American taxes. And then, of course, the other countries can subsidize their exports. We don't do that. We have our open borders, and the whole idea is to destroy the manufacturing base of this country, to ship our money and our wealth overseas, redistribution of wealth, and then, of course, to flood our country with illegal immigrants who will take the jobs and drive, of course, the wage levels down. But the average American finds it so difficult to believe this is going on, and yet look and see what's happening. Of course this is what's going on, isn't it, Patrick?
It is, and it appears to be unstoppable at this point. We've discussed the North American continent before, and the designs that these people have on the North American continent, which include Canada and Mexico. When as America declines in you know, in prestige as a nation, you have the cheap imports, the cheap raw materials that are available in Canada, with a very, very inexpensive labor force in Mexico moving northward, and these resources will meet the labor at some point in time in about in the middle of the United States, and create, potentially for them, create a revolution in manufacturing and wealth production that will basically use, you know, completely, you know, impoverished labor, much like they've done in China. China is a land of very inexpensive raw materials and very, very inexpensive labor. And that's why it was so attractive to these people to move manufacturing facilities over there and ship it back to us. And they have no problem dealing with communist nations, because you don't have any people to shake hands with. You make a deal with the dictator, and that's it. That's why Russia was, or the USSR was always a favorable place for these people to do business. You didn't have to negotiate with too many people. Yes, you had to bribe a few people, but it was easy to work in a communist nation. And so America is being set up economically to mimic the Chinese experience and perhaps even the Soviet experience, where you have inexpensive resources and inexpensive labor working to produce wealth for a very select few of people who are sitting at the top of the pyramid. And that's exactly where we're headed.
And we basically, I think people have to understand, we have two governments. We have the visible government, that's where we elect our representatives, and they go to Washington, D.C., and they give talks and speeches, and then they have votes on legislation, they pass the legislation, and of course those are the laws of our land, and supposedly they're being enforced, except they're not really enforced for specific the elite. Tom Daschle, what did he have, $100,000+ in taxes? Timothy Geithner had, what, $30,000, got up to about $44,000 with the fines that he knew he was supposed to pay. But the elite don't pay their taxes, ladies and gentlemen. The elite don't abide by the same laws. Why? Because Tom Daschle is a member of the Trilateral Commission. Timothy Geithner is a member of the Trilateral Commission. I mean, these people know exactly how the world works, and of course they work in conjunction with the leaders of the Trilateral Commission. They think nothing at all of executing or certainly of killing other world leaders. The CIA does that. Well, they don't do it themselves. They hire other people to do it. I've talked to at least four professional assassins here, and a number of the people I've interviewed have been actually killed. These things really do go on in the world today. There is an elite, and of course it works primarily through the Trilateral Commission, but then a Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderbergers, Group of 30. But behind them are powerful spiritual forces, which everybody has missed who's talked about this. But, I mean, I'm sure that Patrick recognizes the spiritual forces that energizes this move towards the world government. Well, Patrick, you've got some great reports out recently. And you want to tell us a little bit about your global strategy report? Go ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, I recently started a new service called Geostrategic Trends, which is found at geostrategictrends.com. And August Review is, by the nature of its name, is a backward-looking, body of knowledge that reviews history as to how we got to where we are today. That's why we've been writing about the Trilateral Commission for all these years. And people ask me continually, well, given what we see in the past, how can we protect ourselves against the future? You know, what can we do to either change the situation, or if we can't change it, how can we protect ourselves and our assets and our loved ones and so on? And so I was encouraged to start this new service, Geostrategic Trends, as an inexpensive subscription service, which is specifically looks forward in time to try and predict and analyze what's coming down the line at us. And it's a different perspective, a lot of the same material, a lot of the same players, but it's a different perspective, looking forward instead of backwards. And it's not for everybody to need to look forward, but, you know, there's a smattering of political, there's a smattering of economics, there's a smattering of market analysis, and so on, that I hope will help, you know, people that need that kind of help to stay out of harm's way. And like you said, the American people have been asleep at the switch for so long, they don't have the tools to analyze this stuff themselves. So, you know, given that we deal with all this information on a daily basis, it made a lot of sense just to try and put it in a different venue. And that's how I started geostrategictrends.com.
All right, fine. And what are they going to find out if they do subscribe to Geostrategic Trends? In other words, you're going to tell them of what's going to be happening financially, what's going to be happening politically, what are you going to be covering?
Well, everything is of interest to me, I would say.
All right.
it's my brain and my fingers that are doing the typing. Whatever is important to me, I put it in.
All right.
I've written a lot about global unrest recently, about the riots that have been happening in France, Russia, and Iceland, and even in Davos, Switzerland this weekend.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Patrick, go ahead and pick up the story.
And I've written a lot about the economy.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. A little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
I mean, how could they all belong to this one little group with only less than 100 members? Is that why, of course, Barack Obama's picture was repeatedly on the front of Newsweek magazine and Time magazine? How many times was he on Newsweek? How many times was his face or his picture on the cover of Time? It's just unbelievable how they primed the American people to believe that here was a chance to bring real change, and yet, of course, here was one of their clones.
I suppose if a statistician set about calculating the odds of a group of people like this, you know, keeping these positions or having these positions over a period of 30 years, I don't think that a statistician would have enough zeros in their computer to calculate the odds of this happening.
By accident.
By accident. It would be so infinitesimal as to not even be measurable. And they've done this now for 35 years, starting with Jimmy Carter. And like you said, they've dominated somebody said to me, well, name me one Trilateral Commissioner who was Secretary of HUD. Who cares about HUD? Who cares about the social issues? They have dominated all of the trade and economic positions. They've dominated all of the money positions. They've dominated all of the foreign policy positions, and they've dominated the Secretary of Defense, the defense mechanism in our country. These are the positions that were important to them, and these are the only ones that they've gone after. The rest of them, they just scoff at. And so that's why we see 9 out of 12 Secretaries of Defense have been from this group, and 7 out of 12 Secretaries of State. And the Vice President and or President of every administration has been involved with this group, save Obama and Biden, by the way. But as I said, they've already appointed 10 members of the Trilateral Commission to top posts. You've got 8 out of 10 of the U.S. trade representatives that negotiate all these crazy treaties we've had, agreements that we've had in the last 20, 30 years. And as he said, 6 out of 8 of the World Bank presidents, including the current one, Robert Zoellick, who is a member. And you've got all these people that are exercising influence on these critical areas to our country, and nobody has paid attention to them. They give them a free pass in every instance. And I have to say, I won't mention any names, but I have to say, even well-known conservative journalists who have been writing about these people and writing about some of these things for many, many years, they will not mention that these people. I read an article just today or yesterday about Tim Geithner, and it just ripped Geithner up one side and down the other. But this particular journalist would not mention that he was a member of the Trilateral Commission.
You not only remember the Trilateral Commission, you remember the Council on Foreign Relations, he's a member that attends the Bilderberger meetings, he's a member of the Group of 30, and the Group of 30, at least 6 of them come from the Trilateral Commission, a little group, of course, that directs the finances of the world. And people don't understand that these people are in total control. There's just this very small group. And here's this man who, of course, cheated on his income tax, quite obviously. Now he's going to be in charge of the IRS, as Secretary of the Treasury. What madness is that? But nobody ever points those things out.
Well, I know. So, yeah, we probably ought to look at some of these people. I'd like your listeners to know who Obama's appointed to some of these top positions so far. We've talked about Timothy Geithner already, he is not a banker, by the way. People are mistaking him to think that he's like a Henry Paulson. Tim Geithner is a career bureaucrat. He happens to have worked in the finance area, but he is the wonder boy, if you will, of the Trilateral Commission. He's only 47 years old. He's risen up through the ranks in his short career since college.
Of course, wasn't he very closely affiliated with that great American patriot, Henry Kissinger, who recently called for a chance for a new world order? Go right ahead.
We have Susan Rice, who is ambassador to the United Nations. And, of course, the United Nations would like to subvert the U.S. Into its control. And you have the National Security Advisor, which is the equivalent position of what Zbigniew Brzezinski held with Jimmy Carter. That position has been assigned to Thomas Donilon, a member of the Trilateral Commission.
No, he's the deputy secretary, the deputy of national security advisor. Its main one is James Jones, is it? General James Jones? We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest, of course, is Patrick Wood. Isn't it General Jones is the National Security Advisor and Thomas Donilon is the deputy?
Unless this has been changed just recently, Donilon, in my research here, Donilon has a position of National Security Advisor.
Then I stand corrected. Go ahead.
But you also have Admiral Dennis Blair, who is Director of National Intelligence, Blair is a member of the Trial Audit Commission as well. As far as I'm concerned, these two positions, Director of National Intelligence and the National Security Advisor, essentially control the intelligence establishment in the United States between the two of them, and they're both members of the Trial Audit Commission. You have the chairman of the Economic Recovery Committee, which is Obama's top committee to figure out how to bail a country out of the economic turmoil that it's in right now. The chairman of the Economic Recovery Committee is Paul Volcker, who is a member, and he, of course, was appointed as chairman of the Fed by Jimmy Carter originally. He was succeeded by Alan Greenspan.
Who is a member of the Trilateral Commission?
Who's also a member of the Trilateral
Council on Foreign Relations, right?
And then we have, in Secretary of State, we have people, we have five people that are associated with the State Department. You have Kirk Campbell. He's Assistant Secretary of State for Asia and the Pacific. James Steinberg is the Deputy Secretary of State. And then you have three special envoys that have been appointed. Special envoys are typically troubleshooters who get sent around anywhere that the head of the State Department tells them to go. That would be Hillary Clinton, of course. Whose husband, Bill Clinton, is a member of the Trial Audit Commission. And then these special envoys are our good old friends, Richard Haass, Dennis Ross, and Richard Holbrook. Richard Haass, of course, is president of the CFR, as well as being a member of the Trial Audit Commission. So the State Department is absolutely stacked with these people. So foreign policy will continue, who knows which way, but it's not going to be for the benefit of the American people. You have a number of people, a number of kind of oblique associations with the Trial Audit Commission as well, Dr. Stan, for instance. You have Geithner's kind of informal kitchen cabinet, if you will, a small advisory group. Several people have been in this group over the years, consistently, of course. You've had...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Wood. And we've just been talking about the people in key positions in the Obama regime who come from the Trilateral Commission, Susan Rice, UN Secretary, Mr. Donilon, a Deputy Secretary, or perhaps a National Security Advisor, and Admiral Blair, Director of Intelligence, and the people, Tom Daschle, of course, Secretary of Health and Human Services, right down the list, Timothy Geithner, at least four or five people in key positions of the State Department, all from the Trilateral Commission, and, of course, Hillary Clinton, whose husband's a member of the Trilateral Commission. So, basically, the same people control the government. They controlled it under, of course, George Bush, controlled it under Bill Clinton, controlled it under the first Bush administration, Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter. Yeah, the change we're getting is going to be a change for the worse because they're going to pursue these same policies of destroying our economic system. And this is what they want to do, destroy our economic system, impoverish the American people, but they can't let the American people know that. You've got to believe that all this money they're spending is an effort to solve the problem. But they're not trying to solve the problem. They're not, of course, going to buy up all of these bonds. They could have bought them up last October and stopped this. They had $700 billion, and they absolutely refused to do what was logical, to try to stop the cascading collapse of the housing market, knowing full well this was the major cause because they'd worked so long to create the problem, and they certainly would not want to solve it until it had destroyed our economy and impoverished not only our people, but people throughout the world. Patrick, before we go on, will you go ahead and get out your website, how people can get in touch with you?
Oh, certainly, Dr. Stan. August Review is easy to remember. It's augustreview.com. And there's tons of material on the Trilateral Commission, the historical side of it. Our original book is there as well, Trilaterals Over Washington. And my premium site is geostrategictrends.com, looking forward. And everyone that subscribes to Geostrategic Trends automatically receives a 30-day trial subscription. And if they decide that they don't want to continue with it after 30 days, they just write me and say cancel, They don't pay a dime, so they don't risk anything initially to look at it for 30 days. I typically write three daily updates a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, covering a number of things, including the markets, including gold and silver, and other things that are of interest in the news.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, why don't you go right ahead? You were talking about the Trilateral Commission influence on the government today. And, Chris, I consider Patrick the world's leading expert on the Trilateral Commission and their influence on our government. And really, you have to look at and see what the influence they have on our State Department. They've had, going back to the time of Jimmy Carter, the influence they've had on the Department of Defense, the trade representatives of the World Bank, the Federal Reserve System. And three of the last chairmen of the Federal Reserve have come from the membership list of the Trilateral Commission. Could this happen by accident? Of course not. The purpose of the Trilateral Commission was to seize control of the government of the United States. They've been helped by the people who own, of course, the Washington Post and published Newsweek magazine. That's the Graham family. Fellow Graham now, of course, is a member of the Trilateral Commission. The people who controlled Time, Warner, published Time magazine, they are members of the Trilateral Commission. Mr. Zuckerman, who publishes U.S. News and World Report. The people who control the media, and that's why, of course, you will never see this mentioned, because if you want to keep your job working for ABC, CBS, or NBC, you better never tell the American people the truth. Our telephone, well, go right ahead, Patrick.
I was just going to mention about Tim Geithner's informal advisory group. It's kind of like his personal board of directors, if you will, which is fairly common for people in Geithner's league. Some of his advisors who have met regularly with him for many years include Gerald Corrigan, Paul Volcker, Alan Greenspan, Peter G. Peterson, Henry Kissinger as well. His first job out of college was with Kissinger Associates, where he worked for 3 years. Geithner is a career bureaucrat, not a banker, but he is a Brzezinski type of a bureaucrat. Who is dedicated to a purpose. He's not, he doesn't come from industry, doesn't come from finance per se. But I would point out that Geithner, as head of the New York Fed, coming to take the Treasury position in our country, is tantamount to having the bank send in their representative to your failing company to take charge of the checkbook. And I view Geithner's appointment as much as a receivership operation that's being implemented to, which I think ultimately will pan out, will be the orderly distribution of assets in America to pay off the debt that America has accumulated over the last, quite a while, but especially in the last 8 to 10 years. We'll see. But normally you don't have somebody moving laterally from the Federal Reserve directly into Treasury. This is kind of a first, I believe.
Well, some people liken it, of course, to the fox being asked to guard the chicken coop, but I think of it more as the bear guarding the honey jar. But go right ahead.
Well, it could be that, too. But you see, the Federal Reserve is the exclusive banker to the United States government, and there's only the government and the Fed. There's one client and there's one bank, and that one bank is realizing quickly that its one client is over the edge, headed towards bankruptcy, and the best thing that a bank could do is to send their man and insist on it, even according to the terms of a loan agreement, to insist on placing one of their people in as the chief financial officer of that client.
But the thing that bothers me of what they're doing today, the people in the Fed, Ben Bernanke, apparently now is beginning just to create money and to buy up the Treasury notes, because certainly we're not getting as much. We have massive amounts to raise. They're talking about national debt for this coming year is not going to be $1.3 trillion, as they say, probably closer to $2 trillion at least. And so we have to raise that money, and people are not putting that much money into T-bonds. And of course, there's talk about some other countries, the foreign countries, which have been subsidizing us for some time, so we could keep spending, and, well, they've been sending their money over here to buy our T-bonds, but apparently they're cutting back on that, and of course, they're talking about the Fed actually just printing the money to buy the T-bonds to keep the game going. Have they started doing that yet? Have they started printing money to pay off, you know, so we can issue the T-bonds, so we can keep spending far more than we're taking in indefinitely?
Well, it can't go on indefinitely, and that's the whole point of insolvency. We are technically insolvent right now, but we continue to operate as a country. Our banking system, by the way, is technically insolvent as well. They have less assets or less capital than they have, or I should say, they have a negative capital collectively. Which means that the banking system is technically insolvent. And you ask, well, why is the government still operating, and why are the banks still operating? So, well, it's entirely possible to continue to, for the patient to continue to breathe and his heart beat for a time until, the final beat takes place and rigor mortis sets in.
In other words, basically, as long as you have an airway in and you can keep it on a respirator, well,
right.
First the patient will be alive. I mean, he may be brain dead, but, his vital functions will continue operating almost indefinitely, and you do this simply by pumping more and more and more and more and more money in. We're talking about something somewhere between 8 and 9, maybe as much as $9 trillion they put into, in fact, they won't even tell us where most of it's gone. Certainly, the $2 trillion that Ben Bernanke has given away, he won't even tell members of Congress. He won't tell, the courts or whoever, said, you have to tell where this money, this is American money, and, oh, no, I don't have to, it's a trade secret. $2 trillion, and they won't tell anybody where it's gone. What are they covering up?
Well, it's pretty brassy. You have to say that they're just taking money out of our treasury with impunity and refusing to tell us where it went. So this is a behavior. This is the kind of behavior that you would expect from a criminal who has embezzled something and refuses to help the prosecutors find out the money trail. And this is not the behavior of a diplomat for sure, or a statesman.
Well, these people make Bernie Madoff look like a piker. I mean, he only stole $50 billion. I mean, we're talking about $2 trillion, and Ben Bernanke will not tell us where it went. I thought we were going to have transparency now, or maybe we're going to have a transparent opacity, something of that sort. I mean, sure, I'm sure they'll have an analogy for it, but. They're not going to tell us where this money goes. I think we're seeing the greatest transfer of wealth from the common people of this country to the extremely wealthy, to the international financiers and bankers that has ever occurred throughout all time. And eventually they're going to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I think I'd agree with it. And, somebody's probably going to appoint a committee before this is done to investigate all these things. Like Congress establishes committees from time to time for things. Remember there was a 9/11 commission after the 9/11 attack? And do you remember who the first chairman of that committee was when they put the committee together and released it?
Well, it was supposed to be Henry Kissinger.
Henry Kissinger.
But, of course, he's coming to the Trilateral Commission. They brought in Lee Hamilton, who had been a member of the Trilateral Commission. I've forgotten who the chairman was, but he came from the Council on Foreign Relations. It was not a committee aimed at revealing what had happened. It was on concealing what had happened. And they never got to any of the important issues. And there were testimony by 1,200 people taken in secret, and 1,100 of those testimonies were sealed for 50 years so the American people would never know what really happened on September 11th, and who is really responsible for the murder of those people, and then sending our boys over to fight and bleed and suffer and die in Afghanistan and Iraq. And why are we fighting in Afghanistan today? Can anybody out there in the listening audience give me a rational reason why we are fighting in Afghanistan today when Osama bin Laden is supposedly hiding in Pakistan? Of course, I think he's been dead for years, but doesn't matter. I mean, why are we fighting there? Well, go right ahead.
Well, yeah, I was being facetious, of course, about appointing a committee But, you know, every time we've had any kind of an investigative committee, the people that end up in it are always the same people who seem to be involved in the scam in the first place.
I don't know if you've seen the report of the first and second report of the panel that was the Congressional Oversight Panel that was reported to find out what happened to the TARP funds. But the second report is really fascinating because they came out, I think, in the 8th or 10th of January. And basically they said, you know, we can't get a straight answer from the Treasury Department. We asked them what they did with the money. They said, we're spending it to destabilize the system. Well, how are you spending it to stabilize the system? Well, you don't have to ask us that. I mean, certainly we know what we're doing. You know, we're spending the money. And, you know, they said, we cannot get a straight answer from the Treasury Department as to what they're doing. They keep changing their justification. They keep changing what they're doing. I mean, we're appointed by the Congress to figure out what's going on. You can get this up on the Internet. If you can't, we have it available through Radio Liberty. But it's the second report. We have the first report. We have the second report. And the one thing I can assure you is they're concealing the truth from the American people. Go right ahead.
Exactly, Dr. Stan. I want to probably mention a couple of articles that we have up right now on AugustReview.com that would be useful for your listeners to read. The most recent is called Obama Trilateral Commission Endgame, and that contains a lot of the material we've been talking about tonight, about all the people that Obama has appointed so far to his administration. And then the commentary, the article I did right before that, was called titled A Chorus Call for New World Order. And that was also a very instructive article, I believe, that that points out that the whole world is clamoring right now for a new world order to be created out of this crisis. And leading that charge are the same people like Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Paul Volcker, Brent Scowcroft, and so on.
But you see, if they solve the problem, how will they get the new world order? They can't solve the problem. They have to continue this thing going. That's why this is a game. They have the money. They could have solved the problem. They did not want to solve the problem. They want to continue. And until people understand that, nothing going on makes sense today.
They're snapping the trap for the new world order, is what we're saying.
Absolutely.
Right. The trap is snapping shut right now. And the fact that the economy is getting tanked around the world is immaterial. They've got theirs. They're insulated enough from economic devastation that they can sit back and allow it to collapse in order to get all of the marbles, so to speak, into their little bag by creating a new international economic order along the way. In the end of it, they'll end up owning everything.
The greatest transfer of wealth that has ever occurred in modern times is occurring today. And, of course, the people in the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, are getting it. Incidentally, I might mention that the CEO of J.P. Morgan, Chase, and, of course, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, would you believe that they're members of this little group of 87 people who in the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission? Isn't that a coincidence?
Some coincidence. The European contingent of the Trilateral Commission, by the way, are the people that you see consistently since the beginning of the congealing of the European states into the European Union, which we have today. The early days, the middle days, and the latter days have all been influenced by these same people, the European members of the Trilateral Commission. They have been the architects and the implementers of the European Union. And this is now well documented. Even David Rockefeller acknowledged it in his last work early members of the Trilateral Commission were instrumental in kicking off the big play for that we end up with the European Union. It was their blueprint that put that in place.
Is that in his book, Memoirs?
Yes.
And we actually carry that book. We want people to read it. We want to read what he has to say about it. How his daughter is such a good friend of that wicked communist who hates capitalism, a man named Fidel Castro. Why would David Rockefeller's daughter be going down there violating the law repeatedly to visit their good friend, Fidel Castro? Or maybe nothing. Maybe nothing that we believe is actually true. Go right ahead, Patrick.
Dr. Stan, it's interesting. I don't know that I mentioned this on the air, and I wouldn't reveal any more about it, but Tony Sutton had many friends around the world back in the 70s and 80s because of his association with Stanford. One of his good friends was an airline pilot for a major airline back in those days, and he was a senior pilot, one of the most senior pilots, 747 international routes and so on. And he told Tony one time that he had evidence that David Rockefeller was able to fly in and out of the Soviet Union without passport and basically just in his private plane.
Isn't that nice? Say, oh, it's great to have friends in high places, or maybe you are the high places.
That's right. Maybe you are the high place, but you know, it's like.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Going on financially, let me suggest my November and December 2008 newsletters on the Internet. If you get anything through us, why, of course, we'll be glad to provide the copies of the newsletter free of charge, but you can pull them down on the Internet yourself if you have access to it. November and December, you need to understand that this whole thing is a scam. It's a deadly scam. It's going to destroy the lives of most people here in the United States because they're not going to try to stop the cascading price of homes. They're not going to stop the bankruptcy of businesses, and more people are going to end up losing literally everything they have. So if you'd like to hear my talk, it was given about 3 years ago, The Financial Tsunami, and there's a syllabus that goes with that. It's important material. That's The Financial Tsunami. I have pamphlets called The History of Money, What You Should Know, and The Financial Meltdown. That's The History of Money and The Financial Meltdown. And then the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and, of course, Fiat Money, Inflation in France. Three important books. That the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, The Creature from Jekyll Island, and Fiat Money, Inflation in France, my pamphlets on the history of money, what you should know, and, of course, the financial meltdown, and then our talk on the financial tsunami. You need this information to understand what's going on today if you have any hope at all of surviving, because they're intent upon toppling our economic system, and the people who created the problems are now in control of the problem. Mr. Geithner has been working with Henry Paulson specifically not to address the issue, but they can't tell the American people that. You're supposed to believe they're doing everything they can to protect you. After all, there's that old saying, I'm from the government, I'm here to help. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. We do hope that you laid in a supply of emergency food, that you got yourself a Berkey water filter, that you laid in the supplies of the health products you need, that you've got the garden in a can. The seeds, they're advertising with us now. You'll hear our advertisement. But the other issues as far as long-term storage food, Berkey water filters and the health products, we do have them. You can get information off of our website or call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We'll be glad to send you a catalog free of charge. We want you to get the information. And there's so many books and tape sets and DVDs that are there, videos. You need to have the information. And then we encourage you, if you don't make a profit out of it, to copy anything we've made, whether it's our newsletters, whether it's our DVDs or videos, whether it's our tape sets, get them out. Your job is to get the information to people. Only God can make them listen, but your job is to reach as many people as you can, get them listening to our programs. They'll start out thinking we're crazy, and before long they're going to be afraid we're not. Let me recommend Patrick Wood's excellent website, AugustReview.com. That's AugustReview.com, and we certainly recommend his work. He certainly does an excellent job. Patrick's a personal friend. We've enjoyed working with him, and we recommend his material to you. That's AugustReview.com. And then, of course, we have a great new DVD. It's called The Eye of the Phoenix, put out by Chris Pinto, and, of course, it tells you the story of the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, the occult Luciferian emblem on the back of the dollar bill. Who put it there? Of course, it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was deeply involved in the occult, and his Secretary of Agriculture, Henry Wallace, was involved with theosophy and the worship of Lucifer, and, of course, with Masonry. And so the Eye of the Phoenix, again, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5 HIV war, because America is under attack from within today. Please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.